Kamenetsky Brothers Podcast, Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky coming to you Tuesday afternoon, earlier in the week, Andy, than we normally record, because the Lakers, they play the Knicks tonight in what TNT describes as a classic battle, and they had a picture of Pau in their promotion. It's fair to say this is not the game that they signed up for.
Didn't use Melo?
I guess not. No.
Why not Melo?
Maybe they use Melo in the New York market. I don't know
how
this works.
Pau's not even going to be playing in this game.
No, and that's something that we'll talk about. He's got a touch of vertigo.
Yeah, who hasn't had a touch of vertigo?
Because that happens.
It's vertigo season.
Did you not get your vertigo shot?
Pau apparently did not get his vertigo shot.
That's right.
He probably needs, you know, this ACA. He needs to look into a new plan.
You know, he's got good medical coverage through the union.
Well, I mean, it's not that good.
Pau gets an MRI every 3 days just because.
But those are self-administered. That's just with his own MRI machine at home.
My home MRI kit. I just
exactly.
Put that thing
together. You know how some people make beer at home?
Right.
Pau does his own MRIs at home.
Well, it is
for funsies.
One way to keep medical costs down. So we'll talk about Pau Gasol and his
it's just a hobby.
Latest ailment. Later in the show, Nick Young, some unfortunate business for him. A lot of Kobe Bryant today. He had an interview with Darren Revelle of ESPN.com or ESPN regular or ESPN TV. He's over there at ESPN. And
he's an interesting cat,
said some interesting
Darren
things. Yes. One of the, and I've never really deeply investigated, but he is truly one of the most reviled men on Twitter,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Do you know why?
Well, I mean,
I know we all, everybody likes certain guys and dislikes
sure.
other guys, but why is he so deeply hated?
The perception that I've gotten in terms of the hatred towards Darren Revelle, because within, you know, this is very inside baseball, I guess, but within our industry, media, Darren Revelle is not particularly liked among his peers. I have met Darren a couple times.
Yeah, we've never
nice
been
enough,
in our time
I guess.
At ESPN. We've never worked
barely
with
know him. I'm not even sure he'd remember who we were. I think the general distaste for Darren, and I think whether you think this is reason or not to get mad at him, this is an accurate depiction, in my opinion, is that he reduces everything in sports down to branding and money, and thus is a fairly soulless guy.
And I think that is branding and money are soulless.
But maybe. I mean, but everything in sports, from the eyes of Darren Revelle, does come across as either branding. How many of blank is sold?
Right.
How much
okay.
money is this guy well, making? Franchise worth, things like that. And a lot of people think that Darren applies this view on sports inaccurately or sort of out of touch
okay.
in terms of the way fans view things, the way players act. I'm just saying, I believe this is the reason why Darren is so unpopular.
Let
again,
us know why you hate Darren Revelle at Kamenetsky Brothers at gmail.com.
You and I have had brief interactions with him. Seemed nice enough.
I don't know him.
Whatever.
I just don't pay that close attention. But anyway, so Kobe had an interview with him, and the interesting part is not that he was talking to Darren Revelle. That was a little of a side thing.
Sure.
But he said some interesting stuff that we'll get into. Steve Nash, a little bit of that. We've got some act coming up later. There's a lot to look forward to in today's show, I think, Andy. It is stuffed.
Like any show we do.
Yeah, I would agree. And these are, mishaps in news.
Yes.
That's coming up later in the show.
Yeah, let me tell you something. We're about
mishaps
to get into, Brian.
In reporting.
Whatever you think of Darren Revelle, he's never done anything like this.
Oh, God, no. Mishaps in reporting, we'll call
yes.
it. That's coming up later in the show. But first, let's get to the big headlines of the week. We start, Andy, with LeBron James. LeBron James does not like sleeve jerseys.
No, he does not.
I don't know if he likes sleeves, period. Like in his daily life. He might just tolerate sleeves because he kind of has to. But
he's like, in his real life, if he had his way, he'd be like Chachi Arcola.
Something like that.
Never
yes.
wearing sleeves.
But I think we can all agree that at the very least, he doesn't like them in his basketball jerseys. And
or like Daryl on The Walking Dead.
He is going to sit down with Adam Silver. Adam Silver, the new commissioner of basketball, is going to sit down with LeBron James at the end of the season and talk about sleeve jerseys and whether or not they should keep wearing them. Because, as we know, sleeve jerseys are not necessarily something that were invented for the benefit of the player. They're just another marketing thing. Adidas puts them out because
they can sell them.
They can sell them because the average person struggles with tank tops.
They look so dumb. when they're on an NBA court. The right. players you know in the them thing about look it is, ridiculous.
I haven't actually seen one on a, like, because it's, I wonder if this works in parallel, because I think, generally speaking, basketball jerseys, unless you're actually playing, look really dumb on people sitting in the crowd, but they look perfectly fine on the people on the court. But I haven't actually seen anyone who's bought one of these sleeve jerseys sitting in a crowd watching a game, so I don't even have anything to compare it to.
Well, all I know is they look really stupid when NBA players wear them. I've yet to hear an NBA player really get excited at the prospect of wearing them. It also lets you know just how, I think, just how much juice LeBron has in the league and how different a commissioner Adam Silver is than David Stern, because, you know, LeBron can get that seat at the table with Silver. But if David Stern were still in charge right now, he'd be like, I don't care what you think, LeBron. It's You're wearing possible. My damn sleeve jerseys, my jerseys.
There's no real statistical evidence. LeBron has had bad games in sleeve jerseys. But league-wide, the difference between sleeved shooting percentages and non-sleeve shooting percentages isn't substantially different. But Adam Silver says if there was any reason to believe that the sleeve jerseys was affecting competition, the program would have already ended. If the players decide whether it's just a function of superstition or they really don't like them, we'd probably move away from it. So good for him.
LeBron is the best player in the league. I want him comfortable when he's on the court.
Whatever the hell he wants to wear, he ought to be able to wear.
Compromise, make the Heat wear jerseys during some games, but LeBron gets to wear the normal jersey.
Fine, or he gets to cut them off.
Right, exactly. They're the
roll up a pack of cigarettes in them or something, just so they're out of the way. Whatever it is.
That's how Hito plays. Brian, last Friday, the Thunder and the Raptors battled in an epic double overtime game in Toronto. Eventually won for OKC when Kevin Durant drilled the game winner with 1.7 seconds left. He had Amir Johnson all over him, playing really good defense. Hit the basket, 51 points for the game. And afterwards, Grievous Vasquez for the Raptors said, if you've got Kevin Durant on your team, you're safe. He's like Jesus in this league. He makes unbelievable shots. It's funny because we went to high school together. Now I see his development, how he plays in this league. He's got to be one of the best, probably the best player in the world right now. And then told of the Jesus comparison, Durant replied, greatest man to walk on the earth. I'll fail miserably if I try to stack up to that guy. Durant also said that he credited God for guiding that thing to the basket, the thing being the ball. It's funny.
Which I guess would mean that God that day, I don't mean to disparage Kevin Durant's faith in whatever, but that would mean that God had decided that day to punish, say, Grievous Vasquez, who, as far as I know, is a pretty religious guy.
Or he just bet the Thunder money line.
Right. That's a perfectly nice answer to that question. What I really wish he would have said is, you can't get up. Comparing me to Jesus, I mean, that's insulting. Jesus can't go left.
Jesus was an awful defender.
Jesus doesn't fucking ball like I ball. You know, I mean, like, really got into, like, how dare you compare me?
You can't build a team
Jesus.
Around Jesus.
I mean, come on.
He's too one-dimensional a player. Look, everyone knew that.
Look. If you want to compare me in my water and wine ability or walking on water, okay. That's fine. I'm not going into his world, but him coming up, like, just really went off. Like, everybody says Kevin Durant's too nice. This would have solved that problem.
Yeah, Kevin Durant thought it was a little too much. In the meantime, Kobe fans are inevitably offended that Vasquez didn't use this opportunity. He didn't use this opportunity to praise Kobe after Durant hit the game winner.
Kobe is much more Jesus-like.
He actually had a guy, Brian, by the way. Remember when Meeks had his 42 points? You know, it was the day of Jody Meeks, his best NBA day by far in his career. Actually had some jackass tweet us that I was repeating some of the things that Jody Meeks said in his post-game press conference that I didn't mention how, in sort of in passing, Meeks had mentioned
he was asked,
but I mean, it was kind of sort of an offhanded,
he wasn't going to bring it up,
right?
Exactly
just about the, you know, the influence that Kobe's had on him, you know, in terms of how he views scoring and whatnot. Basically, that I didn't take enough time out of Jody Meeks' day to make it about Kobe. This is what Kobe fans are like.
Well, I mean, in fairness to them, media has to figure out a way to wrap Kobe into Jody Meeks' career day, too.
Yeah,
so
I
it's
guess
not
so.
Just them, but it
I
was
guess
a
so.
Stupid question, I'd be honest. But all right. Next question, Andy. Or next question, next headline, I should say. I'm skipping ahead to ACT. Mentally, I'm already at ACT. Mark Cuban, one of the more successful owners in the NBA, says the NFL is at risk of oversaturating the market as they expand in more programming into more nights of the week. CBS this year will carry Thursday night games covering the first 8 games of the season. They'll simulcast that with the NFL Network, which will carry the rest of the season. After that on Thursday is the typical schedule. They'll also have a Saturday doubleheader on NFL Network on week 16 after the college football season. So they always have that 1 week where they, but it's a little more this year than it has been. And as Mark Cuban noted in the well-known investment, what's the word? Like, it's what's the word when you say it's like a parable or a... like it's an expression?
Credo?
Whatever, yes. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, he's accusing the NFL of being a little hoggy.
And you know what? I actually think he's got a point, because part of what makes the NFL so great is scarcity of product. You know, you go in on, generally speaking, Sundays. You've got your entire day of NFL.
Right.
You've got your one Monday night game. And then from there, you know, until Thursday kicks in, you're just spending that week waiting for more football. It's one of the reasons that the Super Bowl is so huge and can be turned into, you know, a global event, a holiday, is because it's just one game. It's not a best of seven like you have in most playoffs. And I think the more you spread around the NFL, the less special in some ways it becomes. And I don't think it's going to kill the NFL, but I do think it could affect the ratings.
Yeah, and there's an issue with it. It's funny, the ratings, I don't know how much they matter. I mean, the TV contracts and all that, how much the ratings actually play into the TV contract or whatever. But the big thing is, the Thursday night games tend to suck.
Yeah.
I mean, the product on Thursday nights, because it's a short week, because guys are barely back together physically from the week before, they tend not to be very good games.
Getting hurt. And so it's so blatantly hypocritical, Brian, when you see the league putting on this facade about how much they care about injuries and everything's about player safety, when in reality it's all about covering your ass from lawsuits. You cannot say in the same breath that you're this worried about concussions and player safety and then turn around and give players less time to recover during the week. It's blatantly hypocritical.
I feel like I think he may be over. I mean, he did say some interesting stuff too in different interviews, and I may have been in the same interview about the dependence on gambling and fantasy football in sport in the NFL. And those are interesting things to look into. I don't think the NFL is in any real danger of dropping, in part because people still gamble, people still care about their fantasy teams. But the product itself, you're right. Anytime you do anything that could negatively impact the quality of it, you are taking a risk, and I think that's what they're doing.
Last night, Brian, the Bulls took down the Pacers 89-77, splitting the series between these teams. The Bulls have remained very tough this season despite the absence of Derrick Rose, Lou Aldang getting traded to Cleveland.
By the way, it hasn't worked for them.
No, it has not. Nothing is working in Cleveland. Their inability
Scrappy, though. And they did end the Knicks streak, so good for them.
Yeah.
Only the Knicks would have their streak broken by the Cavs.
Yeah, there's only so much Phil Jackson can do right away. And in the meantime, the Pacers have really struggled after an opening couple of months where they looked like, bar none, the best team in the league. They're 5-5 over the last 10. Paul George shooting 40% since the All-Star break, under 40% in March. Roy Hibbert slowed down. I've seen some players grumbling that feels like veiled criticism of Lance Stephenson and sometimes his wild ways when he's on the court. And in the meantime, the Wizards, the Nets, the Raptors, even the Bobcats, they've been much more credible in 2014. And as we get closer to the playoffs, do you think that this notion that everyone thought, you know, for the early part of the season, that it was a two-team race between Miami and Indiana for the Eastern Conference, guaranteed that was the finals matchup, maybe we're moving away from that?
Yeah, I mean, in the first couple months of the season, the rest of the conference was awful. So, I mean, there was really nothing else to look at. But like you said, I mean, Brooklyn's been, I think, the second or third, fourth best team in the league since the All-Star break. Chicago is right up there among the league leaders. And Charlotte has been great. They've been a really good team over the last 20 games or so. I mean, Steve Clifford
always said,
Coach of the Year.
As I said, nobody knows how to build a team better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
I've always said that.
Genius at that.
Always said that.
I mean, the freaking Bobcats. So if you're a two seed or whatever, all of a sudden, you know, the Bobcats at the seven spot or something could be a problem. I mean, I don't worry as much about Miami because they have the look of a team that's kind of coasting. They're still beating good teams like 22-9 against teams over 500, stuff like that. Indiana, though, has fallen off big time. And, you know, a lot of their numbers that were so positive, they had the best defense of the league efficiency-wise by a flipping mile earlier in the year, and a very ordinary offense. And they still have a very ordinary offense, but since the All-Star break, their defensive efficiency has been like fifth or sixth or seventh. It doesn't sound like a big drop-off, but when your offense isn't very good, you're not compensating in any way, you go from elite to ordinary pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that their defense, you know, if not historically elite, right, they were
5 or 6 points better than
right,
everyone.
I think people expected the defense to drop off to some degree just because it's basically impossible to maintain what they were doing for a season, but maybe drop off to merely, you know, first, second, third in the league, while the offense would actually work itself out. Hasn't been the case, And you're right, Indiana looks more vulnerable.
And so I think they could have some problems, and, you know, that it's a foregone conclusion that Miami versus Indiana in the conference finals, absolutely not true anymore. No question.
If I had to guess, I still think that could end
still
up
probably
it,
put my money
but,
there.
But you're right. It is no longer the done deal.
I think a lot of it depends on where the order. I mean, because the team that plays Chicago first, I think, is at a real distinct disadvantage because that they're like the Memphis of the Eastern Conference. They might not win, but they do a lot of damage to the team that they play, make it harder for them to advance. You know, Charlotte can be a stingy team defensively. They get after you a little bit. I mean, it seems ridiculous to say these things about Charlotte, but it's true. Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, the Eastern Conference playoffs are actually going to be worth watching.
I hope
and
so.
I would not have said that in mid-December.
That's good, because that's a lot of playoffs to watch leading up to the finals, especially if they're not even interesting.
So those are your big headlines, Andy. Big headlines for the big action in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, who'd have thunk
it? Not things we would have said. Mentioned before. Sorry, I just saw something as I was scrolling down on a pro. You ever want to see, you just sort of get distracted, you want to click on something
sure.
before you continue talking?
Sure.
The hottest actresses who have gone topless in films.
Nice.
That is, for those of you at school wondering how to write a clickable headline, that is a clickable headline.
For those looking how to master
the
new media,
actresses this who've is gone new media. Topless in films.
Some of the names include.
Here's another one. I haven't clicked on it. I'm not sure I'm going to. I don't know if I want to go to
Hexagram.
You don't
know if it's reputable?
Hexagram.
Well, Brian, is it from the New York Post? If that's the case, it's fine.
Foreshadowing. Here's another one. 52 celebs you didn't know had herpes. I'm just reading these. I did not make that up. But like, you know, EverQuest Next Landmark. That means nothing to me. All that, but the hottest actresses who've gone topless in films. Why, yes, I will click on that. Thank you. Anyway.
Number one.
I think I know.
Beatrice Arthur.
She did nudity?
I'm kidding. I have no idea. I love Bea Arthur, actually. So,
talking to Darren Revelle, whether you like him or not.
Right.
Your material.
No. Kobe talked to him either way. Kobe did not ask your opinion before talking to Revelle. He just said, I'm going to sit down with Darren Revelle.
Among the, you know, he talked a little bit about the business aspect of Kobe Incorporated, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But just from the Lakers standpoint, he did mention that he bleeds purple and gold.
Right.
That he thinks it's important for Jim and Jeannie to get on the same page, and he wants to help with that. He can be, you know, part of that, you know.
He can serve as a go-between.
Go, team, go. He also wants the rebuild accelerated, Andy, because he wants to win next year.
Right. And by accelerated, we mean no time whatsoever.
Right. Right. The rebuild is over.
Right.
Sort of what he's getting at.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
This is, what's funny is, like, we talked a lot about this last week in terms of the, you know, what happens if
all the time spent moving forward this season, we're no longer doing that.
When Kobe got angry about Phil, when he got upset about all this stuff, and we asked the question, you know, what happens when Kobe isn't pleased with the goings on going forward? Because while they don't necessarily owe him anything, as you made the point, he has a great deal of impact on public opinion. And when he does things like this, you know, as you say, he's talking to the fans when he's saying, you know, this isn't how the Lakers operate. You know, this is throwing red meat out there. And he's doing it again when he says, you know, we need to accelerate the real bowl because I want to win next year. This is not, you know, I'm not going to put up with this kind of thing. He's rabble rousing. He's literally rousing the rabble.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
Sure.
is this going to become like a big, because we were saying, you weren't even trying, he's not, I don't know how much of it he's going to do, the Lakers can ignore, it's been a week.
Well,
and
his tone was much more conciliatory towards the organization than it was certainly at that presser a couple weeks ago. And there was a part of me, and kind of dawned on me later, I wonder if Kobe realized at this point, not only was I, you know, we're probably losing Phil, but I bet we are losing Carmelo on top of losing Phil, because there's a greater chance now that maybe Melo's going to stick
possible.
Around in New York. And I think, you know, maybe Kobe thought when he signed this $48 million extension, and, you know, him saying that we've got enough money to bring in a max player, hashtag Mitch is smart, hashtag bus family smart, that he thought Melo was going to be the guy.
Maybe. I think he sent that tweet out, though, as to defend himself against the size of the contract.
Of course he did. But it wouldn't surprise me if Kobe had at least been somewhat counting on Melo showing up, if for no other reason than Melo is about the only star you can picture wanting to play with Kobe.
Right, and he's the only one left. At that point, he's the only guy that's out there that is a real superstar who could do it. But I, you know,
it's, back to the original question, though, they shouldn't do this. Doesn't matter. It matters as much as the front office allows it to.
Sure, but do you think it's going to happen? Because it impacts everything. I mean, Steve Nash was on with
Colin Cowherd.
This week, and you know, one of the interesting things that he admitted to is that, you know, D'Antoni and Kobe, not necessarily the greatest fit. And so when you're thinking about what can they do next year, do they fire the coach? Okay, maybe
they might do that regardless.
They might have to do that regardless. I think they probably, once Phil got away, they probably that increased the pressure to get rid of D'Antoni, to say the very least. But who do you replace him with? Do you replace him with the guy you think, you know, could be a great coach as you build this team back up, or you replace him with a quote unquote winning coach today? And because, you know, the most important superstar that they can tailor that coach to is the star they don't actually have yet. It's not Kobe. But if Kobe puts pressure on him, if they think they have it, is he going to keep doing this? And because it changes the context,
you know,
of how they
it
operate.
It only changes the
context. And it matters right now because everyone hates the front office.
It only changes the context if they allow it to. Because the reality is Kobe has really no leverage in this. It's not like in 2007 when he went on the radio tour demanding a trade and he was arguably the best player in the game in his prime when the other
he could retire.
The other
help them out.
Right. Sure. I mean, really, what's he going to do? I mean, he is at this point untradeable on several different levels. It doesn't really matter
knows.
If he's unhappy. It doesn't matter. I mean, this may be something Kobe has to realize.
It matters if he does what you've been talking about with the Kobe's army and the people who, you know, may or may be bigger. They find out that they may be bigger Kobe fans now than they are Laker fans.
Oh, there's always been somewhat of a split, but I think these next 2 years, you're going to start getting to Hatfield-McCoy territory.
It doesn't take much to rile that crowd up. And I think
that crowd was riled up then. They were riled up then.
But the context was a little different because there was more faith in Dr. Buss, who was still around.
All everyone remembered at the time was Smush Kwame. People have memories. Yeah. They have short-term memories. And, you know, they were looking at, oh, my God, it's been 5 years since our last title, 4 years since our last title. It's an eternity. Dr. Buss has lost it. He had just had a DUI. Jim Buss has no idea what's going on. It's been 2 years since we dismantled a team that went to the finals. What's going on? It's been an eternity. This is
the world. Right. I know this is the world.
It's always the worst when you're in it. And that's how fans always treat it. You know, what we've learned in the past, you know, history will teach us nothing.
I wonder what an accelerated, I agree with you, they shouldn't do anything. I wonder what an accelerated rebuild would even look like.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess they go out and sign a bunch of mid-level-ish kind of players and use up all their cap space and whatever it is.
I mean, whether it's a matter of, I think, like overpaying a guy like Luol Deng, who's getting close to 30, if he's not 30 already,
and
he's been hurt a lot.
And maybe, to say the least, has played a lot of minutes in this league.
Right. Just from Thibodeau alone.
Right. I mean, he's...
You know, say they draft Dante Exum. I'm just throwing that out there. And then they trade Dante Exum for a more established player who's 27 or 28 because that might help Kobe now, or they don't put out a big offer for a guy like Greg Monroe specifically because Kobe wants Powell, because Kobe trusts Powell. Something like that to me would be catering around Kobe, and that would be really dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I just it's not, I don't want to make too much out of him saying, you know, I'm selfish. I mean, he admits it. It's not like, you know, the Laker fans deserve this, that, and whatever. Yeah, but like when the, you know, we all talk about
it. Brian, this wasn't like when Kobe took $48.5 million because he wanted to set an example for the players behind him. Right. I mean, this was not a case, Brian, of Kobe giving back and trying to make the league a better place than when he arrived. This was about Kobe.
Right. At least when he admits that it's selfish. He admits why he wants to do it. But he also, I mean, clearly understands when he puts out the term, you know, accelerated, I want to win, you know, I don't put up with this or whatever. And, you know, obviously the Lakers owe Kobe, as you said last week, $48.5 million. The people they really owe it to are Laker fans.
Sure.
And Laker fans should want them to not screw this up because you really want to get one shot at it. You know, but it'll be, I wonder how often he's going to go to this well in the next, you know,
I mean, he's only got two more years to do it.
Whatever it is. But so we'll see. The other thing that was, he announced the launching, I guess it would be, of Kobe Inc.
Kobe Inc.
Partnered up with Body Armor, a sports drink with potassium because it's got coconut.
Yep.
Coconuts are big around.
Coconuts are huge. Big. You've got
my
that.
Old neighbors. Yeah, they make stuff out of coconuts.
We should introduce them to Kobe.
They should. but, you know, this is not some little startup. But Kobe Inc. is basically venture capital for sports. Not entirely like that because the first place he's putting his capital is with people who, the vitamin water people who sold to the Coke for $4.1 billion. So that's not quite venture capital.
They're not a little mom and pop
right,
shop.
Right, they're not like this little thing that Kobe is going to, you know, but it's, no, that's look, what he's getting.
Anytime you add Kobe's name, I don't care how big your business is, you add Kobe's
huge,
name to it, you just
huge.
Got bigger.
And, you know, if you go back and you look at it, and it's, you read his mission statement, all these things, very focused on sports. And as he explained, this is something that I understand very well. This is a world that I know. I want to put my own money into it. I want to have skin in the game. But you leave that part of the interview with Darren Revelle with the impression of a guy who's going to kill it in business.
Yeah, I mean, we got a question.
He already is.
Got a question in ACK from @SlayinMaven. What are your thoughts on Kobe's post-career moves? Will he be a Magic, teach like Hakeem, front office like Bird or Magic? Could you see him doing in-game announcing like Reggie or Steve Kerr? Really, I think he's going to be closest to a Magic Johnson in terms of what he does. He's going to, I think, get involved with businesses. Get involved with an organization as an owner or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's never going to coach.
But what's interesting,
I don't see him
though,
being a teacher.
I totally agree with you. But what's really interesting about that though too is they make mention of how like Magic has often lent his name to things. Understand? I don't mean to say that Magic's not a hand-on business guy or whatever. But Kobe is like, that's not what I want to do. I think you'll see less of Kobe publicly than you do Magic.
I
don't think there's any question. And what's funny is he could do any of those things. If he wanted to be an announcer like
he'd be terrific.
Reggie or Steve, he'd be phenomenal.
Yes, he would.
If he wanted to teach guys, I actually think he'll do that. If guys call,
but I don't think formally with an organization.
No.
I think if somebody calls him up
and says, hey, can you work me out for 2 weeks over the summer? He'll do it if he thinks it's
and
a guy.
Kill that guy.
if he thinks it's someone who will work,
yeah,
you know, at the level that he would want to learn this stuff, I think he'll do that.
I think
that.
He would too.
But what I don't think he'll do, I don't think you'll see a lot of him.
Yeah,
he'll pop up when he's got one of his things to promote or something to do or a brand or something, a business venture, something with his foundation, whatever. You're not going to see him all the time.
And in the meantime, too, reflected in this Body Armor drink that he's been getting involved with, and him saying that he's going to keep his ventures within the world of sports because it's what he knows. Just lets you know how smart the guy is in picturing his future moving forward. We saw during the season a couple times during road games, he attended business classes.
Yeah, just showing
at different schools.
And classes.
This was not a PR thing. I mean, this was not Kobe just looking to create publicity or whatever. He was
He's a genuinely intellectually curious guy.
He is absolutely.
Which explains in the end why he did so well with Phil.
Right.
Because they're both that way.
He is going
Phillips
to
too.
Crush it in the next wave of his career. He is going to be making a lot of money. But it also, to me, Brian, reflects why he really would have been better served and I think okay taking a little less money on that extension, giving the team a little bit more ability to build around him.
Especially if he wants to accelerate that rebuild.
Hashtag just saying.
Hater.
Perfectly within his rights.
Andy, in other news, within his rights. Powell's going to miss Tuesday night's game and who knows how many more because he's got vertigo.
Seriously.
He's got vertigo.
Vertigo.
And I'm not saying he's making up because I admit I owe Powell an apology because Sunday night in the Orlando game, he doesn't come out for the second half. And, you know, we get the note he's not feeling well. He's got he's dizzy and this and that. About 95% of the time, that means a player is dehydrated because he's got the poops. He's got the poops.
Sure.
We all, everybody poops. Andy.
Everybody.
Everybody
you
poops.
You and I have small children, and this
everybody
is something we have to reinforce all
poops.
The time. Yep.
Even Powell.
Even
Kobe.
You know what I was going to say? Even Kobe Bryant.
I mean,
poop.
Granted, everybody can't sell their poop on eBay
no.
like Kobe could.
And occasionally.
People would buy that.
Occasionally.
Somebody would buy an authenticated Kobe poop.
But it would have to be authenticated because, as you know, sometimes Kobe has somebody poop for him. When you are as powerful a man as Kobe, you sometimes don't have time to take out to poop. And that's where Kobe has, you know, one of his manservants do it for him.
Man servants.
He does.
But anyway, so I
he's got
thought,
a big payroll, at least two or three people, Brian.
I thought Kobe.
Are his poopers.
Poopers? I thought Powell.
It's a very
had,
specialized trait.
I thought Powell. I pooped myself once. It was an overrated experience. I thought. How had the poops?
Sure.
And I think I was well within my right to believe that. I mean, it's A plus B in this case did not equal C.
No, it equaled V.
And then I felt bad because I saw afterwards he went to the hospital and he
You're
stayed
like,
there.
Wow, he is just crapping Ooh. His ass off.
Man, he's really got the poops.
I mean, doesn't Gary Vedia have any Imodium around? I mean,
somebody
really?
Stop these poops. So he went to the hospital and he stayed there overnight, and it turns out he's got vertigo. And, I mean, vertigo is serious shit. I mean, you do not want vertigo. It sucks, and if you're a professional athlete, it's even worse. You can't play with vertigo.
No.
But is there? Can you conceive of a more Lakery thing to sideline someone at this point of the year
we are really,
than vertigo?
We are really running out of ailments because I mean we've had the run of the mill injuries, the ACLs, the Achilles, the
weird,
you know
the continuation of the weird nerve root thing.
We've had Steve Blake stepping on a parking strip spike, whatever the hell they call that stuff.
That was this year or was that last year?
It's all sort
right.
of been it's bled into everything that's going
keep
on.
Keep forgetting.
Yeah, you've had the weird elbow injury for Blake.
Yeah, that was
Blake,
weird.
Blake had chicken pox. I mean it's gotten weirder and weirder, and as these ailments pile up, it feels like there's nothing more. Is there anything else?
Vertigo. I mean, only the really weird, and I actually went to Google and looked up some strange diseases, like what are weird things that people could get? Things like Cronkite Canada Syndrome.
What is that?
You don't want it.
What is it?
Symptoms of this very rare disease include a loss of taste, intestinal polyps, hair loss, and nail growth problems.
Damn. Ew.
400 cases in the last 50 years.
Ew.
The jumping Frenchman of Maine.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's when you get a really exaggerated, startling reaction. Which actually, at this point, I'm surprised that's actually something Lakers should have.
You know what we saw?
Somebody comes dribbling down the court. They're so PTSD at this point. They're like, ah!
Well, actually, we did see that reaction one time, the startled look, a few years ago during the preseason when Powell was unexpectedly asked about Kobe and Vanessa's impending divorce. Powell was genuinely startled by that question. I mean, the news of this broke during the game. He had absolutely no idea what he was being asked about. And you could tell that he was just like, is anyone going to ask me about getting traded? Anyone going
to
talk about CP3?
Who wants to talk about that?
Anyone want to talk about basketball
reasons?
Have you
ever done this before? Have you ever said, and I know you're a bit of a hypochondriac.
I'm a weird guy in that, Brian. I'm a hypochondriac who will never see the doctor.
But have you ever tried to diagnose yourself on the internet?
No, I won't do it. I will
yeah,
not do
I did it.
It
one time.
I won't do it.
And I got to a list on WebMD, and this was really bad. I haven't really looked up exotic diseases between then and now just for that reason. But I got to a place on WebMD, you know, because I had symptoms that were like, you know, I was flu-y, I had chills, I had, you know, six
they were
other
multiplying.
Things that, right. You know, and these are symptoms of literally everything. You know, you could have a cold or you could die tomorrow with those symptoms. And so I found a list of things that were clearly ranked in the order of most preferable to least preferable. And HIV was third. So I'm going down this list and I'm like, God, I hope I have HIV because otherwise I'm in real trouble here.
Yeah.
So the fifth one was is just like, you know,
it is one way to
it was just a skull and crossbones on WebMD.
It's one way to positively market HIV, I guess.
Yeah. Might I just say, don't ever do that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't do that sort of thing.
One assumes, by the way, Brian, that the person who at the hospital who diagnosed Pow with vertigo was Pow.
I would assume so. He went to a hospital where he had privileges.
I keep picturing like this doctor going, well, Pow, we're pretty sure it's vertigo, but I'd like to get a second opinion. May I look at the chart, please?
I concur.
I concur. It is vertigo.
See.
Vertigo. I also would assume that Pow's already created a foundation to help others who are suffering from vertigo.
I believe UNICEF's next big benefit is going to be vertigo-related. But vertigo, he's got fucking vertigo. What the hell is going on with you? He's got vertigo.
No one's going to get rabies.
No, is that a...
Or scabies.
Nick Young's not foaming at the mouth in excitement, folks. He's not keyed up to play the Bucks this week. He's actually got rabies.
I mean, seriously. At this point, somebody could get rabies, and I would not bat an eye. At this point, I'm expecting it.
Somebody's got that Walking Dead thing.
Well, best of luck to Pow. He's not going to be playing against the Knicks. We don't know when he's going to be playing again.
You know, cynics will say 12 games from now. I think I mean, if you're going to come up with an excuse, you're going to come up with vertigo.
Well, or you're going to come up with vertigo right around the trade deadline when Pow didn't want to move.
I mean, you'll know he's faking it when like everybody comes in here. Whoa, it's spinning. I can't stop. You know, that's how you know it'll be faking. But vertigo.
That is so weird. Yeah.
Vertigo and don't self-diagnose.
It has been a very strange season.
Speaking of Nick Young, Andy, he was robbed during Sunday's game. His Sherman Oaks home robbed of more than $100,000 worth, or around $100,000 worth, I should say, of shoes, clothes, jewelry, and luggage, the latter of which presumably used to carry out the shoes, clothes, and jewelry.
I suspect Wes Anderson, if this was Louis Vuitton luggage, because everyone knows Wes Anderson loves him some Louis Vuitton.
He was most disappointed in the fact that his Yeezys were stolen.
Yeah, Yeezys.
Yeezys, which, by the way, I had to look up.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny.
I am not hip enough.
I saw the name Yeezys, and I was like, well, is that a shoe designed by Kanye West or something? You know, the Yeezys nickname. But I'm like, that sounds ridiculous. Turns out that's exactly what it is.
I didn't know what a Yeezy was.
Yeah.
I didn't know he wore them the other night.
Yeah, he wore the Yeezys. And I guess, you know, Kanye's huge. So people are going to get upset if you lose your Yeezys. It's not like you're losing your shoes designed by Snow or Us Three. Or do you remember when
Dexy's Midnight Runners?
No, I'm thinking rappers. Oh, okay. You know, remember when Troy Hudson had his album? It came out.
What about Kobe?
Troy Hudson.
Kobe actually might be one of the most successful shoe designer rappers of all time.
He's up there. I mean, it's Kanye, and then it's Kobe.
It's Kobe.
And then
I mean, he's one of the least successful shoe designer rappers.
Yes,
but he's one of the most successful rapper shoe designers.
Well, you know, I get how involved was Meta.
How involved
was Meta with those peaks or whatever that he used to wear, the Chinese
ones
shoe.
The ones that Phil referred to as concrete shoes.
Yes. Troy Hudson's album in 2000, I remember when this happened in 2007, story. Called Undrafted. Troy Hudson, journeyman point guard, played with the Magic, Timberwolves. Undrafted. Debut week sold 78 copies.
Honestly, of them, you assume, were to Troy Hudson or people who know him.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, Brian. If you and I put out a rap CD, we would sell more than 78.
Absolutely sell more than 78.
Our parents' friends, like the middle-aged Jewish suburbs of St. Louis, that thing would be flying off the shelves.
So I love this new hip-hop album.
Oh, your boys are doing so well with the hip-hop.
No, I wouldn't have thought that. When did they stop doing radio?
Do they know Kanye? Do
Nobody
they know have they
like
met
this,
Kanye?
I didn't know that those were shoes, and so I had to look up what Yeezys were.
Yeah.
But hey, they're gone. I just think he's got to be the most impractical person to steal clothing from. Like, you can't steal Nick Young's wardrobe and then wear it the next day. Everyone will know you're the guy who stole Nick Young. He's got, like, you know, that paisley puffy thing he wore when he was with the Clippers a couple years ago that everybody photographed him in. You can't just wear that.
Well, there's particularly because people, I think nobody else has bought that except Nick
him.
Young.
You know, all of his clothes are really unique.
You're going to need a couple fences. It's the equivalent of, like, you know, when you double wash dirty money, you're going to need to move these things a couple times.
I don't know how exactly you know, they would have dealt with this in Breaking Bad, but it would have involved the car wash wouldn't have been enough to clean Nick Young's clothes, so to speak.
And all kidding aside, it's actually very fortunate that
he wasn't there.
I mean, maybe 6-7 years ago, there was that awful incident with Eddie Curry,
Sean Taylor, and all these other things.
And I mean, it's awful when you are. It's one thing just to be a celebrity because you can be a target like this, but when you're a celebrity that's an athlete and people know your schedule,
right? They know when you're home or not. Yeah, and they know when you're out of town.
It is. Joking aside, very fortunate that nothing ended up happening to Nick Young or anybody close to him.
All right, so that's what's going on with the Lakers. Vertigo.
Robberies.
It's certainly not from the heights the Lakers have reached this season.
Boom! Nailed it!
Oh, yeah. He's dizzy. You see, you go high up, you get dizzy. Boom. Anyway.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Moving on to ACK. Ask Kamenetsky. You ask us questions via Facebook, Kamenetsky Brothers.
Or Twitter, this particular week.
I know we got a new one. Twitter is at Cam Brothers. Or the third option,
the blog. The actual Land of Lakers blog.
Which we so rarely mention. The actual blog. LandOfLakers.com.
We got an ACK submitted there.
First question from Sam Alaport. You may know him from ESPN.com.
Yeah, he's friend of ours. Really good writer. Really funny guy.
Just rewatched Blair Witch Project. First of all, holy shh, it's scary. It's also real. My question is horror dead? Not talking box office. I mean, when was the last time a movie scared you shh-less in your adult life? He hasn't gotten the memo that we curse sometimes. Not childhood, child playing, Friday Nightmare don't count. And why are we too jaded and smart? Andy, you're a movie guy.
Well, first of all, and I hate to
When was the last time a movie scared you shh-less?
I mean, I guess maybe like in terms of the entirety of a movie or pretty close to it, maybe either 28 days later or 28 weeks later, the movies.
Yeah, those didn't scare me. I just found them really cool.
They were creepy, but I mean, at times I thought they were kind of scary.
Maybe did you like jump when stuff happened?
No, I mean, certain parts of World War Z, truth be told, I don't really tend to get scared by movies. I mean, most movies set out to scare people, I generally find the premise sort of too unbelievable to actually get wrapped up and scared. I mean, the movies that draw me in, and Blair Witch, when I saw it, drew me in. You know, I found it very creepy or whatever, but usually it's movies that are either, like I said, creepy or just sort of like visceral. Like you get just sort of drawn into the intensity or visceral power of it. Like, did you ever see that movie, The Gray, with Liam Neeson?
Yes.
Yeah, that movie.
With the wolves.
Yeah, that movie really drew me in. That was a fantastic movie. And along those lines, of just you get caught up in the fear that they're feeling and just that survival instinct. Or a movie, I think, like The Hurt Locker, just the intensity of it. And you're just waiting for something awful to happen.
But like, the true horror movies, I mean, the last movie
really
I can remember, right? You know, I neither. The last movie I can really remember that scared me was like The Shining. Like the first time I saw The Shining, that was not a good idea.
Yeah, but you were also like five.
I was older than that. The first time I really sat through it and kind of realized what I was looking at. But I think part of it is I think horror to some degree in that way of like really getting scared at movies, like where you sit in the theater, like the infrared cameras or whatever that they put to show the audience during Paranormal Activity 4 or whatever it might be, where they all go, ah! You know, that kind of thing, where they all look like they have...
Yeah, movies like that I find stupid.
Yeah, where they all look like they have Jumping Frenchman of Maine disease.
Bringing it full circle.
Uh-huh. I do think there's a point at which you kind of age yourself out of those. Kind of like I've aged out of understanding, like caring about the characters on Girls. Like I don't get scared with this because I'm too jaded to let myself go deep into the world of Oculus or whatever that movie is coming out.
As Sam suggested, he said, are we too jaded and smart?
I think I'm just too jaded and smart. At the very least, too jaded. I would never say I'm too smart or something.
The thing about Blair Witch that's always stood out to me is how much, for me at least, that movie is a reminder of when you see a movie that becomes a phenomenon can really affect the way you... I guess the way you take it in or how much your enjoyment of it, what you take away from it. Because I remember when we saw Blair Witch, We saw it right when it first came out, when it was still just kind of a festival phenomenon before it became...
I think it was still limited release in L.A.
Oh, it was very limited release in L.A. We saw it like at the New Art or one of those type of movies.
I think it was the one, whatever, the New Art on Wilshire.
Right.
Which is, and, I mean, it may not even be there anymore.
And this is also when found footage was a completely new genre. You know, now it's
everything.
It's
literally almost every horror movie because people realized how inexpensive it is.
Exactly. And the movie then felt like a really unique and creepy experience. But then once the movie became this huge hit, there was this backlash and people complaining about motion sickness or that it was completely fake or they
and your expectations go up so much too.
Exactly. I mean, the flip side of that for me was, I remember when I saw The Crying Game, I also saw that well before it became this huge phenomenon, and it was being marketed in the beginning as this IRA movie, which is why I wanted to go. And I remember thinking the first half hour or so with Stephen Ray and Forrest Whitaker, it was just unbelievable. It was this really interesting movie.
You know, it's a guy.
It takes a weird turn, Brian.
You know that it's a guy. And it turns out to be a guy.
Exactly. It starts shifting in this
That's
weird
the big twist.
Exactly.
It's a guy.
And I found the big twist ridiculous. I just didn't think it was believable that Stephen Ray was still romantically attracted to Jay Davison upon finding out he's a guy. Then it starts
For
getting,
most people, that's a game changer.
Right? And it gets back into weird IRA stuff as the movie goes back on. And I just thought it was kind of a mess. But then the movie, 2 months later, becomes this huge hit in large part because that twist that I found ridiculous becomes the marketing tool, becomes the twist everyone is excited about but nobody's talking about. And it just, when you see a movie that becomes this phenomenon, is going to be a huge part of how you end up seeing it. You know, like, how you end up interpreting it, your enjoyment of it, what you like about it. And that's always struck me about Blair Witch.
Final question, Andy.
Comes from a regular act submitter, Blue Man at TQT008. Who would you rather hang out with? Rank them. Bieber, Kanye, Lohan.
Bieber is third. That's easy.
Okay.
I just saw, I didn't even realize this was going on, but... I'm sure this is not news for most people. Lindsay Lohan has a show
on the Oprah Network. It's produced by the Oprah.
By Oprah. Or as a lady once called her on a show back in like 25 years ago, Opal.
Yes.
Stood up in the audience and kept calling her Opal.
She, so like Kobe, is one of those people powerful enough that has somebody poop for her on occasion.
She can get Kobe to poop for her.
She really could.
Oprah can do whatever she wants. And so she's got this reality show, whatever, and I watched an episode with my wife, and I found her to be extraordinarily dull.
Yes.
I mean, I think that to me was the big takeaway from watching Lindsay Lohan, like an hour of Lindsay Lohan doing Lindsay Lohan day-to-day things. She's boring.
Yeah.
And so...
doesn't have much to say.
Say what you want about Kanye. He's clearly narcissistic. He's probably crazy, but he's not boring.
No.
So give me a day of Kanye. I don't know what we'd have to talk about. I probably have more to talk about with Lindsay Lohan of all of this. Like, I would have been like, oh, so somebody stole Nick Young's Yeezys. I didn't realize that was a shoe that you made with them. You know, you'd be like, what did you think of my new album? I haven't listened to it yet. That kind of thing. We wouldn't have anything to talk about. But I'd choose him over the other two.
Yeah, I would choose Kanye first. And I actually think you'd have a little bit more to talk about with him. Because, you know, as narcissistic and self-absorbed as Kanye is, and I think he could be...
We're both... you're narcissistic. Well,
actually, that is one of the things.
Self-absorbed,
you're right.
He's narcissistic. He's self-absorbed. And go.
Yeah, in that sense...
A real icebreaker.
You two... That is how you two would sort of start the conversation. You've probably seen each other at the meetings. But, you know, Kanye is a genuinely talented guy.
Sure.
You know, he's got a lot of vision in terms of music and different. I think if you could occasionally steer the conversation away from him, I actually, and again, it's going to take some work, but I do think you two could find some things to talk about. The biggest problem I would have in terms of choosing between Bieber and Lohan for second and third, I'm inclined to agree with you that Bieber will be hands down the most annoying between the two
totally
of them.
Totally insufferable.
Oh my God. I'm very concerned that if I hang out with Lilo, I'm going to start smoking again. And it took me
That's
a
not
long
a problem for me. Yeah.
Took a long time, Brian, as you know. I mean, good 10, 15 years to really get off the cigarettes.
That's
she doesn't go more than 30 seconds without a butt.
That is a you problem.
I know,
not
but
a me problem.
In the end,
and she looks. I mean, but just as a side note, she looks beat up.
Oh my God, she looks Dina Lohan's age. My God,
damn,
she's not even 30 yet.
Oh.
I mean,
where did you get that dress?
She is on
some shoes.
She's right now moving into Benjamin Button territory.
That is not good. All right, so you're still going Bieber third.
I'm going Bieber third, but I'm very
because Bieber going. Keep in mind, going to with Bieber would drive you to smoking.
Yeah, I guess.
At least
so.
With Lilo, all you have to do is resist it.
Yeah, I know.
Need cigarettes.
I just think it's
awful.
The experience I always had when I was trying to quit smoking is I had this tendency.
It's been a while.
I know, but Brian, it's that easy to start back up again. And the tendency I always had when I would sort of semi-quit or get towards quitting is I would date a girl that smoked. Because for a long time, basically until I met my wife, every single girl I ever dated smoked, and I'd start right back up again. It is hard to be around someone who smokes a lot. No.
Especially at this point in your life.
No.
So that shouldn't be a problem. Anyway, so thank you everyone for ACK this week.
ACK!
Ask at Kamenetsky. Before we go, we mentioned it earlier in the show. Earlier this week, undeniably a tragic story, no matter who is the actual person in question here. This was Tuesday. Was this Monday?
Monday.
The New York Post reported that they found a body in Rockaway, Queens, with a shallow grave in a plastic bag, and inside that was a guy named Quentin Ross, who the Post reported as the former Clipper / Net / a couple other things, I think. Quentin Ross.
Yes.
Their original
headline was something along the lines of former Nets player found dead.
Right. In shallow grave.
Yes.
I think they actually mentioned that
in the headline.
Yes, they did. It turns out that Quentin Ross is very much alive.
Yes.
And in Texas or
yes,
something like
he
that.
He was actually, I believe, at the time watching the NIT game between LSU and SMU at the game. I think he was actually in the stands
at which
watching
point he
that
finally,
game.
He probably sees that he's dead.
Oh, he was. He said that he was getting hit up on Twitter, you know, on text, people trying to call him. Everybody's thinking he's dead. In the meantime, too, the sports and basketball community, you know, on Twitter, everybody's going crazy because they're thinking, oh my God, Quentin Ross has been murdered.
32 years old. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you and I had met him before on a handful of occasions. Exactly.
I don't know what he's been doing, but he's a nice guy.
I know I was personally shocked when I heard this.
I mean, former player in shallow grave wrapped in plastic and all these other things. It's not a good story. It turns out they were wrong, and they did correct their story by saying that initial reports
that this victim is former Nets basketball player Quentin Ross are incorrect, police said.
Yeah, initial reports from us.
And only
us. They didn't mention that part.
Yeah, they made it sound like they were correcting an error by the New York
Times.
Right,
like, oh, those guys screwed it up again. Here we are cleaning up the AP mess again.
Yeah, they brought the same integrity to their correction that they brought to their actual investigation and initial reporting.
It just goes to show. And look, I know mistakes happen.
We've made mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody poops. Be careful.
Yeah.
It's not important to be first. Be correct.
Everybody remembers who got it wrong. Nobody, I think, especially now in the age of 24/7 news and social media, nobody really remembers anymore. I think even cares who gets something first. They really don't. I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible to even keep track of it because the minute something breaks, you've got 10 to 15 different reaction stories.
And short of news junkies, nobody. I agree with you. It's not. It's not
people within
the
industry and news junkies. They're the only people that really care. Nobody remembers who breaks a story, but everybody remembers who gets it wrong. Everybody.
Yes. And I think everybody's going to remember that the New York Post declared Quentin Ross dead.
And in the meantime, too, the actual Quentin Ross who died, right. This is horrible for his family as well.
So, anyway, that's just terrible.
And by the way, too,
awful
that this happened with the New York Post is just the joke that
writes
itself.
That's the part that I think makes people feel better. Okay, so the Lakers, they played Tuesday night against the Knicks. They've got some other games coming up before the end of the season. Xavier Henry's going to play through his wrist injury. Good for him. They're going to win some games, maybe. They might. They play Milwaukee. That could. They're going to lose some more games, I think. That
I think that's a safe statement.
Jordan Hill's playing again. Chris Kamen, who I just picked up in my fantasy league, because Pau's got vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Did we just say?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Ridiculous. We'll see what comes up next week. Maybe the jumping Frenchman of Maine will be an issue next week. We'll see. I wouldn't rule it out. See everybody next time.